Hi guys, welcome back to Untamed Terrain, Traversing Life's Chaos. This is episode number 9, and today Lori and I are going to be talking about communication between us and how we communicate with our kids, and what's worked and what we've changed throughout our lives, kind of how we were raised in our communication skills and our family and how we talked about things. And so, first of all, what do you think has been the biggest struggle in learning how to communicate with kids?
Oh, goodness. Well, kids hear what they want to hear. And so it's really important that our communication with our children is unequivocal. Mm-hmm. And repetition. I mean, I know it sounds so stupid, but you never know when they're listening. Yeah. But it seems that the more they hear something, the more they think about it and ingrain it into their being. I mean, we had an experience this morning where our girl is celebrating her birthday, and she was opening up a Cash App account, and she asked me to sponsor her, and I gave her a little bit of birthday money, and she was so excited. And this girl has no problem Grubhubbing a Starbucks. So she'll pay $20
for Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Yeah. She Grubhubs Dr. Pepper from the grocery store. So I told her, you know, don't spend it all in one place, save. And it led to, you know, me giving her a piece of advice, which I said, you know, most of what I say is going to go in one ear and out the other, but this is life advice. And I heard it a lot. And I said to her, don't give up what you want most for what you want right now. And I repeated it to her, because communicating with teenagers and with children, you have to enunciate and repeat so that it gets to them.
How did your upbringing affect how you communicated with your children?
Well, my origins of communication, my mom is an author. She actually just defended her PhD dissertation. Yeah. So she is very well versed in communication. She's an author. My dad did communication trainings. So communication and clear communication was something we were always taught. And one thing that my parents taught me is to communicate honestly, to share your honest feedback. And it's not always been great. Sometimes I'm too honest and mm-hmm. people don't like it. It's disarming. And it's never because I want to hurt people, but I just am honest in my communication. And I try to relate that to my kids in how they communicate and also in how I communicate with them.
Yeah. I think it's a complete 180 of how I was brought up. Raised as the first grandchild on both sides of the family, I was closer in age to my youngest uncles than I was any of my, well, I did have a couple other siblings, or excuse me, cousins that were born within a couple months. But as far as spending time with people and learning how to communicate, my parents were divorced at a really young age. I think I was 3 years old at the time. And my mom was working all the time. So there wasn't this constant fostering of, hey, how are you doing? Hey, how was your day? Hey, what's going on with you? And so it was very guarded when it came to sharing my feelings. And anytime I was hanging out with, as I got older into my early teenage years, hanging out with my uncles and the older group, hey, don't tell your parents about this. You know, don't tell them that we did this. Don't tell them. So everything was, don't communicate, don't talk. You know, tuck your feelings away because we don't want them to find out what happened, or you don't want to be a, you know, you don't want to be a wuss, or you don't want to be this if you talk about how you're feeling about certain things. And so everything that I learned about communication was keep it on the down low, keep it hush. And so as growing into my adult life and moving on into relationships, that kind of stayed the course. I didn't communicate well enough. And so when we talk about how we communicate with our kids, I'm still working through those barriers of, okay, how do I open this up and how do I even start a dialogue with my kids? Because I don't know, I didn't have the example of some adult asking me the specific questions and how did I feel and what are you going through right now? How is, or as simple as, how was your day? That question was there, but it wasn't expanded upon when the answer came. It was like, okay, cool. Let's go outside and do some yard work.
You've mentioned several times that your boy's mom has been their sounding board. If they have issues, they turn to her, and how much you regret that you didn't foster enough communication with them so that they would come to you as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe not more than they go to her, because coming from a mom, we tend to be the emotional harbor for our children. Yeah. But I know that you regret and wish that you had communicated so that they would come to you more.
Yeah, and I'm very thankful that they had that in their lives and they had that go-to when it comes to their mom opening up to them and always being, you know, the softest landing place for them no matter what. It's funny that you and I are now, you know, our trajectory was completely different in, on how we communicate, because between us, we've, I mean, to me anyway, have done a complete different path as far as communicating in a relationship, because we pretty much put everything on the table when it comes to conflict, when it comes to planning, when it comes to our everyday life. It's an open book. And with the kids, I'm still kind of navigating this approach to them. It's kind of like approaching a dog that's been beat, you know, not to use that analogy with as the kids, but approaching a dog that's been abused. It's like they're sensitive to you touching them or talking to them or being around them
because it's unfamiliar,
because it's not familiar. Yeah. And so having to do that with my boys especially, it's just like, okay, it's hard to break through that barrier and get them to open up. But we've had our moments, and when they do open up, it's like, okay, it's not that difficult for either one of us. It was just never there for me growing up. And so now I'm having to kind of learn all these techniques and how to get there with them. But yeah, with you and I, it's been, I think it's just been lessons learned over the years. And that's kind of helped me with the confidence to speak and not feel like there's going to be a huge consequence, or there's going to be backlash, or there's going to be, she's not going to love me anymore.
Right. And I think because we've both been in relationships before, and we've mentioned this in previous episodes, it was really important that we come into this relationship with no pretense. We needed to come into this relationship because we both avoided this relationship so much. I mean, when we first met, we were going to be, to use the term, friends with benefits and nothing more. We weren't going to catch feels. Neither one of us wanted to get married. And so we came into this with no pretense. It was, this is how I am. Take it or leave it. I'm not going to catch feels, so I'm not going to be brokenhearted if this isn't what you want. And I know that early in our relationship, we had a situation, I'm not going to go into detail, we had a situation where we had to have a really uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share this, not the details of the story, but our approach to it, because I have shared this situation with my children in how they navigate their own relationships. Mm-hmm. And that is the importance of being honest and having hard conversations and how we approached it. I remember when this happened, we were doing a long distance relationship and we weren't serious. I mean, we were boyfriend, girlfriend, but still had not really had plans to make it a long-term thing. But I called you on the phone and I said, we have to have an uncomfortable conversation and I don't really know how to approach it with you. It's going to be a test for us to get through this. And I explained the scenario and, you know, I can't speak to your side of things, but it was really nice to know that going into this conversation that I had acknowledged it's not going to be comfortable. I had acknowledged this is going to be probably the biggest thing we have to deal with, at least so far in our relationship. And this is how we need to handle it, or this is how I hope we handle it, but leaving it up to us in communication.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct attack or blame or, you know, completely putting the weight onto one person. It was more of how you explained it. And I've kind of like taking your lead on how you're approaching having these conversations, because I was just thinking, you know, you approach my kids, the five boys, a lot differently than I approach even them or your two that live with us. You're very to the fact, but also with a nurturing tendency, telling them how much you're proud of them and this and that, and saying that I see what you're doing and I see how you're navigating this and what a great job you're doing at it. And so these are things that I'm still trying to pick up on. I'm still trying to, you know, get those bits and pieces and the examples from you especially, but just anyone in general who has a good communication skill, a good communication set. For me, it's just to come on this podcast and be able to talk constantly has been an effort, because it's not something that I was ever brought up doing or I was comfortable talking to. I can get out in front of a group of 20 kids and tell them how to field a ground ball or block a baseball behind the plate. But when it comes to one-on-one relationships, even the eye contact and the things like that, I work on that with my kids as well, of trying to keep a good eye contact with them and keep our communication direct and make them feel like I'm listening and that they're heard. And that's something that I've learned from you, and that you've done a good job in, not only with them, but between us. And it's helped promote that confidence for me to say, okay, these are the kind of conversations we can have, and this is how we're going to approach it. But yeah, I think saying that, hey, this conversation isn't going to be comfortable and this is why, but in you saying how we're going to approach it, it has always been the lead in to us coming up with a good resolve.
Well, in my experience, being able to acknowledge the awkwardness of a conversation actually kind of disarms the other party.
Yeah.
So that they know that, okay, it is a stretch for this person to have this conversation. I need to at least be empathetic to the fact that this is difficult. I also need to be prepared for the fact that I may need to have a cooler head when we talk about this, because it may be an inflammatory conversation. Mm-hmm. And if we are committed to getting through this, and like you pointed out, not placing blame, not, you know, abdicating responsibility for any events that happen, you don't have to be defensive when you don't feel like you're going to be attacked. Mm-hmm. And by taking out the offense or the defense in a conversation, it tends to be more about not you versus me, but us against the problem, us finding a solution rather right. than us fighting out what our ideals are. And the conversation that I alluded to at first was the first in many, I think, difficult conversations we've had to have. Mm-hmm. And it set a really great precedent, because it was tough. It was a tough conversation to have. And we have, obviously, blending as many family members as we have, and dealing with teenagers, period, whether they're a blended family or not, we've come up against some pretty rough stuff with our kids. I mean, they're teenagers.
Yeah. Well, and they're ticking time bombs of emotion and hormones, and we say the wrong thing and they're going to fly off the handle because they don't have a coping mechanism. They don't have, they're still, you know, and they're learning from us. And that's part of the reason that I want to adjust my approach to communication and my ability to just break that down for them without them feeling like, why are you always yelling at me? Why are you always, you know, everything I do is wrong, or everything I do, you tell me that I'm not doing it the right way, or, you know, it's like, so I don't want them to feel that way when it comes to asking me for advice or asking for a dollar or two or, you know, 10 now, because mm-hmm.
dollars, because they're expensive. Dollars, a dollar not, doesn't yeah. mean anything anymore.
So I want them to feel comfortable in opening up in whatever way they need. And so at 50 years old, I still feel like I have so much to learn, because of my life and getting to this point. And then not to play the woe is me, because I'll never play the woe is me card, but I just didn't have the tools from those raising me and those who I took my examples from to say, hey, okay, well, let's have this conversation, but not immediately say, why did you do this? Why, you know, and putting the blame on that person before the conversation even gets started, because at that point it's over, you know, it's like nothing is going to get accomplished and nothing is going to get resolved when it comes to whatever it is you were trying to get across in the first place.
Absolutely.
And so,
you know, I think that in our relationships, I know that you said, and I'm talking about past mm-hmm. relationships, you've said that communication was an issue that yeah. may have led to the breakup of at least one of mm-hmm. your marriages. And I would say the same thing for me. But it's interesting to reflect back on that and then apply it to our relationship. Mm-hmm. One of the things that happened in my second marriage is, without going into a lot of detail, I became very closed off in communication. I became very much the, I don't care, whatever. Like, yeah. I did not share my experience. I did not share my feelings about things. I stopped caring what we had for dinner. I withheld communication, which obviously led to withholding love. And it's because it was a really unhealthy relationship. And when I notice when you and I come across things that are uncomfortable, and I notice I'm intentionally withholding communication from you, I get to check in and say, is that really what you want to do? Because it is a, mm-hmm. it is a slippery slope from withholding communication to the relationship absolutely falling apart.
Yeah. And we pick up on those cues from each other very easily. I know when you are thinking about that, and when you've got, when you're wrestling with that in your own head, and because you don't talk. And I'm not saying that you don't ever stop talking, but when we're not communicating and when you shut down, then it's an immediate sign to be like, okay, where did this come from? You know, what was the point of origin that kind of set you, got you at this point? You know, what is it really about? And let's give you a little bit of time to work this out. Cause I've figured out, okay, you'll approach this topic when you're ready, and it's not days later. It's maybe an hour or so, or it's not withheld on purpose, but you'll open up when you've realized that, okay, this is how we need to approach it. This is what we need to talk about. And here's the root of the problem. And I think that's been a huge advantage for us, is that, yeah, we've gone through two marriages each, but it's also taught us to kind of sit back and say, not every issue is because of something that we actually did. It's mm-hmm. now because of past trauma. It's now because of relationship issues you've had prior that you feel like are going to come blaring back the minute that you start to approach something that's bothering you.
Right.
Or something to deal with the kids or whatever it might be. It's become an eye opener to, all right, let's sit back and let's think about things for a moment and then approach it in the way that we have been. But it's funny, cause you talked about holding back love. And we've talked about love languages. When you're not getting up and giving me a hug, and when you're not doing those kind of things, that's still a form of communication. And so those all kind of feed into one another. And yeah, when we are open and things are flowing well, of course that part of the communication, the physical communication, is there as well. It goes hand in hand. And it's nice to know that we don't necessarily have it right, but we're moving in the right direction when it comes to keeping our relationship healthy and keeping our lines of communication open, not only between each other, but with our kids. And it's helped me to slow down with them and not just be so mechanical when it's like, okay, do your dishes, do your homework, do this, do that. It's time to like slow down and really see how they're feeling, see how they're doing in life, besides keeping their room clean.
It's important to check in emotionally.
Yeah.
You talked about how you can tell when something's come up for me and how I withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out and acknowledge that, first of all, you're in tune with me enough to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks volumes to your ability to receive a message that I'm sending, even if I'm not sending a message with anything other than absence or silence. The second thing is, I remember the first time you noticed me withdraw, and your reaction to that was a shock to me. We had gone to a concert together, and without going into too much detail, you had said something to me, and it brought up, as you pointed out, a past trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I closed off. Like, I shut down. And we were at this huge outdoor venue. We were at the Gorge Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
Watching our favorite band, Dave Matthews Band, and you knew that my energy was gone. And
immediately, it was like a switch had been flipped.
You turned to me and you said, "Where did you go?" And we didn't talk about it, but the fact that you had acknowledged that something had changed started breaking down that barrier of, this relationship isn't that old relationship. This relationship isn't a relationship where you have to be worried about showing emotion, where you have to control your temper and your emotions because they can be used against you.
Mm-hmm.
This relationship is safe. And I loosened up after a couple of songs and things were fine. We were dancing together by the end of the night. And then as we walked back to our campsite, we talked about, you asked me again, do you want to talk about it? And I said, yeah, this is what happened. And it wasn't you. Something you said triggered something else. And mm-hmm. that's what caused me to shut down. It was an old trauma surfacing here.
Right.
But we handled it.
Yeah. And that's all I want out of our relationship. I mean, not all I want, but it's all that I want when it comes to communication, is that we understand each other, and that if we're not constantly throwing words back to one another, that at least I know that you're happy or you're stressed, or I can figure that out just by your body language, you know, that in that form of communication. I know that when something is off with you, okay, I'm not trying to fix it, but I'm just trying to say, okay, how can I help you get through whatever it is that's troubling you? And you've done the same for me. I mean, you're the same way when it comes to me being quiet or shut down, or you know, when things aren't feeling right. You simply flat out ask, and it doesn't trigger a response to me like it used to, or say, oh, nothing, or just to hide all the emotions and be the strong father and be the strong male in the family role or whatever it is. I can be like, you know what, today's just, it's just one of those days, and this is A, B, and C is bothering me, and so-and-so didn't take out the trash and it set me off. So it's nice to be able to talk about those things, and for me to acknowledge what I'm feeling as well, not just what the other person in the relationship is feeling, but I have to look at my own emotions and my own reactions and be like, well, this is where it came from, and this is how we're going to get through it, or at least how I'm going to get through it with your support, or help the kids do the same thing, because we can tell when they're off. You know, it's funny because you talk about the girl in our family. She's definitely easy for you to read. And all it takes is a little hug and a quick question, and she's like, okay, this is it. This is what's going on. And so it's a goal to be able to get to that point with all of our kids and have them just let the doors down and let us into their lives.
Yeah. So. It's also not all about verbal communication. Mm-hmm. There are so many times we communicate without even talking. Case in point, the other day you were making dinner for the family and we just got chickens and one of them scratched my finger and I was worried about it getting infected. So I kind of just went to, I'm hurt. I can't help. So you took over dinner and it was like a catastrophe after catastrophe. And I could tell you were getting frustrated. I could tell you were a little more snippy. And trying to get dinner on the table, I think we had almost all of the kids with us. And I just gave you a hug.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, we didn't have to share. I could tell by your energy that you were getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. I could tell because I had watched all these catastrophes happen.
Spilling the rest of the lemon juice.
The lemon juice went everywhere. The fries went everywhere. I mean, it was ridiculous, funny, but frustrating, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you didn't need to tell me what was going on, and you didn't need to communicate it to me either. Mm-hmm. So I just took 30 seconds and the kids were getting their food so that everybody was in the kitchen and you were in the kitchen and I just went up and I just gave you a hug. Like I just weaved through kids and gave you a hug and just held you until you relaxed and the kids got to see it.
Yeah.
And they got to see how we handled that without even talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's been the silver lining, is that, you know, not that they had, at least in my last marriage, they didn't have a bad example, but I don't think I really helped set the stage. And I was gone a lot of the evenings and weekends. So I missed a lot of that development at home. And so it's nice to have another opportunity to really give them a good example of what all types of communication looks like, you know, physical and us sitting down with them and talking about, you know, matters of school or home or whatever it may be. It's nice to give them that example and really kind of tie our family together. So, but yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to?
Well, you talked about the kids and us setting an example of communication. I know that we also want to teach them how to have a healthy relationship. And you and I have made strides to make sure that this relationship is healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember which of our kids we were doing something. I think it was the middle child. And I think we were playing a game or something, and we said something and it was super mushy. And he's like, oh my gosh, that's so disgusting. And everybody at the table laughed. And he said, no, I'm just kidding. It's cool. Yeah. And it's fun to be able to show our kids that, you know, there's nothing wrong with affection and what a healthy relationship really looks
like. Right. And the mistakes are always going to be there and the opportunities to learn are always going to be there. And that's as long as we're continuing to work those out together rather than get defensive and storm off and show them that and hear slamming doors. That's something that we don't ever want them to have to deal with. But we also have to let them understand that, yeah, anger is an emotion, love is an emotion, and all of this is, these are very strong emotions, and you're going to have to deal with all of these. We just want to give them a little roadmap of how to do that.
And how to not have collateral damage in the process.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, anyway, that's about brought us to the end of our episode 9 today. It's always fun to talk about this roadmap or this path that we're on. And honestly, we don't have a map for it. We're just kind of winging it as we go. And it's been fun doing so for the last few years.
Yeah, so, it has been.
Anyway, if you guys have any questions or comments, please feel free to leave them in the comments. We'll always get to whatever we can. We'll do a follow-up episode possibly with anything that does come up. And reach out to us. Our email address is untamedterrainpod@gmail.com. And you can always reach us on the socials and at the comments below. There's links to everything. So
thank you so much for joining us and tuning in for this episode.
We'll see you next time.